Welcome. We're here today with Bob Lehrman. He's an Institute Fellow at the Urban Institute. He's a professor of economics at American University, and he's one of the nation's experts on apprenticeship. Bob, welcome.
Thank you, Andy.
So, Bob, the way I think of apprenticeships in their essence is when an employer develops a relationship with an employee to train them over time to build the skills they need, rather than simply trying to hire a worker with those skills. And there are advantages to that, forming that relationship. So that said, apprenticeship is really as old as the Middle Ages, and this is an innovations blog. But the reason we're highlighting it is because you've pointed out that internationally and in certain places in the United States, there is new innovation going on in the use of apprenticeship.
Yes. They're using it for running computer networks. They're using it in financial occupations. They're using it in a whole variety of fields, so much so that most heads of German companies have been apprentices. Yeah. We have one example in Newport News, Virginia. It's called the Apprenticeship School, where they maintain nuclear-powered aircraft carriers and submarines. And they have a school. They bring in 200 apprentices per year. These people are going to be their future leaders, but they learn from the ground up, and they learn all the technical elements, and then they specialize in certain, what would be, you know, high-level community college degrees, and subsequently they become supervisors, managers, and leaders. And that's very common in other countries. Here we're very segmented. People stay in school as long as they can and then enter the labor market, often with very little knowledge or information about what they want to do or how they fit into the workplace or the type of employability skills that firms are looking for. Apprenticeship offers a way of doing it in a more organic and holistic way.
Today, we have apprenticeships in high-tech industry, modern settings, but I have a personal connection to youth apprenticeship, one could say, which is we had a 3-year training program growing up to become a camp counselor at our local YMCA camp in Milwaukee. That, in essence, was an apprenticeship because you learned on the job for 3 summers in order to become a counselor. They could have just tried to hire counselors, but instead they saw the advantage of training their own.
Yes, and you were acculturated into the camp philosophy as well as learning the general skills of what a counselor should be.
So that's more of an example of an informal apprenticeship for youth in that case. Let's now shift to more formal adult apprenticeship programs. And Bob, tell us, why should state leaders, local leaders, workforce development experts in those communities be looking for ways to build apprenticeship programs, in your opinion?
Well, growing apprenticeship in a state is both an economic competitive advantage as well as a helpful element in reducing inequality and increasing jobs and increasing the quality of jobs for people. And we see that with the experience of other countries. If you look at the youth unemployment rates in Germany, Switzerland, Austria, Denmark, countries that have extensive work-based learning programs linked to classrooms, linked to credentials in an occupation, you see they have very low youth unemployment rates, high youth employment, and a lot of competitiveness. So these programs have both an economic and a social rationale.
Some of the leaders here are Switzerland, Germany. England has been catching up. What's been going on in the...
Well, Australia and England. Australia managed to triple their apprenticeships by having a lot of government leadership as well as private leadership. The same goes for England. England, more recently, is the most recent case where they have finally devised a system by which they have training providers reimbursed on the basis of their developing apprenticeships with companies. So the training providers get reimbursed for the classroom type education, and the companies pay wages as well as pay the internal training of the workers. And this has managed to be a huge way of expanding the numbers in apprenticeships, so much so that they're going to have as many enter apprenticeships as higher education this coming year. Yeah.
A model in the United States may be South Carolina. Tell us about that.
Well, South Carolina, through an association between the Chamber of Commerce and the technical college system, got the legislature to appropriate $1 million a year and create a tax credit of $1,000 per apprentice. Now, even during the downturn from 2008 until now, where jobs were lost dramatically, they've managed to increase apprenticeships by 7-8-fold with just a small staff of well-trained people who know how to deal with business people and learned about apprenticeship. And they're selling apprenticeship at the retail level. So they have managed to go from something like 90 companies to over 600 in a very short period of time. And they show employers why it's to their advantage to have an apprentice and to have apprenticeship be a big part of their human capital development.
The staff that they have has business background. They're MBAs, actually. And they're trying to talk to businesses.
Yes. This is a business case.
Yeah.
They make the business case. And the Chamber of Commerce certainly was interested in the business case. They knew that they were falling behind on these middle skills training. And as a country, we're finding that we're falling behind. And the best evidence for that is that German companies that invest in the United States that would invest a lot more. Their number one complaint is the weak training system.
Bob, what are your suggestions for state policymakers that want to take the next step? Tell us about who the players need to be to start this conversation. Technical colleges or community colleges, as they're also called, are one player in this?
Yes. Technical and community colleges could play a bigger role if the funders of those systems insisted that, at least for their occupational type degrees or courses, that they go with an apprenticeship, ideally maybe one quarter of those slots in the next year or two, and moving up over time, so that they know that when you're a local government and you're funding a community college to do an occupational training course, there will be jobs at the end. Not only that, but they'll be learning a lot of the things that you can only learn in the workplace while they're taking the courses. In addition, the people who are learning will also be paid for the work they're doing in the workplace and have a much greater sense of counseling, because community colleges have very few counselors per student. And the employers will take over some of that load and do a better job in giving the holistic education and training for the young person.
You've said that apprenticeships can help on both the supply and demand side of labor. The supply side is maybe the more obvious. That's about creating more skilled workers. The demand side is an argument about creating more of a high road path of job creation.
Right, having companies decide that rather than having a high turnover, relatively low skill strategy, or being concerned that if they're going to put in 6 weeks of training somebody, that the person will leave next week, you develop a contract with people. And that contract has obligations both by the employer and by the worker. And that employer then is able to be assured that they're getting a high-level person. When they believe that they have that capability to achieve these high levels, they can then raise qualifications and the tasks that people can do. And that makes them more valuable. And that makes them worth more. So that even in jobs that you wouldn't think perhaps would be that skilled, let's say running certain machines, if that person is not only running a machine, but is an expert at the machine and can do maintenance on the machine, then you have a much higher quality job, yeah, to go with the higher skilled worker and thereby improve competitiveness. Mm-hmm.
And Bob, the main obligations in an apprenticeship on each side of employer and employee are what?
Well, the employer agrees to make sure that the worker is exposed to a range of experiences that will lead to mastery of the occupation. And the worker agrees that they will be working over the next 2 to 3 years for that employer with a certain wage scale and will participate, will do their courses properly, and will participate properly as a worker.
Bob Lerman of the Urban Institute, thanks for being with us and for sharing insights about this important workforce topic.
Thank you, Andy.
We're going to end this interview with a treat. Here is some music from Bob Lerman's daughter, Maya, from her new album. Her band is called Maya and the Ruins, and the album is called Take This Song With You. The song we're going to hear a little bit of is one you may know. It's called Roll Along, Kentucky Moon.
Days.